Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Double trouble, using terrorism alert levels for COVID. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Yes, we're back to 9/11, all over again. We are, do you remember, I trust you remember, that right after 9/11, a color-coded alert system was made to warn us about the different levels of alert that we should be on in regard to terrorism. Well, now we're going to be doing, or actually I should say, some places have already formulated a color-coded alert system for coronavirus. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? Is it making you scared because it's triggering the PTSD when we had the color alert system for terrorism? Is it time to be afraid, be very afraid that terrorists are coming? Well, I'm actually going to talk to you today. I'm going to remind you about the 9/11 color alert system that we had, the Homeland Security Advisory System that we had. And then I'm going to tell you about the system that the UK has developed in regard to coronavirus and that Dallas, Texas has developed in regard to coronavirus. And you will see some interesting similarities and differences, similarities in the threat levels and similarities in the criticisms that these threat levels have received. Nobody seems to be happy, whether it was 9/11 or coronavirus, nobody seems to be happy with the levels, except that I think that they are useful to sort of be a simple way of giving us an idea of what is going on. I mean, you know, when you get scared, it's very difficult, you know, to look at things in a very detailed kind of way. You know, when the terrorists attack, you don't want to start going to your dictionary or Wikipedia or wherever you would go, or some government website, to decipher exactly what that threat level is. Same thing with if there was a sudden increase in the number of coronavirus cases, you don't really have the patience to go look and see all the details of coronavirus, you know, the different threat levels, colors. Now, before I get into the different threat levels, though, I want to talk about it's sort of an irony that we are talking about having similar color-coded levels, alert levels, for coronavirus and for terrorism, because there is a strong warning about how coronavirus is really giving food for thought to terrorists. I mean, I've talked about in previous podcasts, I've talked about various ways in which coronavirus is sort of spurring terrorists on to attack. So far, really, there hasn't been anything. Well, there were a couple of attacks that were stopped at the last minute in the States, but there hasn't been a major attack that was caused by the propaganda of terrorists, you know, urging lone wolves to attack because we're not paying attention. Our attention is totally diverted to coronavirus. I mean, it's ironic because on the one hand, you know, we're sick of hearing about coronavirus. And on the other hand, we can't help but be glued to any kind of information about it. So the irony is that the coronavirus is really not only the fact that we are, our attention is diverted and now we're in quarantine, so we're all getting fat and lazy besides being focused on coronavirus. But it's also the coronavirus itself that is a wake-up call to terrorists to create a bioweapon, putting aside for a minute the question of whether it is a bioweapon itself. But it is making life easier for terrorists to realize, you know, it's one thing to ram your car into people, pedestrians on the sidewalk, or to do knife attacks on the sidewalk, or even suicide bombs, you know, or to go on an airplane, all of these different things. But it's a lot simpler in some ways to just take an agent of bioterrorism and spread that around. I mean, when this started happening, I have been saying that this is a terrorist dream, what has been happening to us, the impact of coronavirus. It has filled, immobilized, destroyed the economies of the United States, Europe, the West. And, you know, it's hard to... It's really strange that this, and ironic, I know I keep using the word ironic, but I like irony. You know, this came from a lab in Wuhan, China. Well, there is no question about that. There is still a question about whether it was meant to be bioterrorism, although that laboratory, the Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, is a laboratory that develops bioweapons. I think really that it's just that people are afraid to acknowledge, really, to face the fact that perhaps it was a bioweapon from China, because we have gotten complacent and dependent on China to, you know, to not be an enemy, to not be a country that would send us, that would cause a terror attack of any sort. And again, I'm not talking about the Chinese people per se, we're talking about the Communist Chinese Party. And I think America and the rest of the world, really, because of greed, has gotten very, you know, it's the number one example is Apple. I mean, Apple makes so much money on all kinds of technical things, phones, computers, laptops, you know, all the things that Apple makes. Why on earth does Apple have to have their products made in China? I mean, there's a quick and easy answer. It's because it's cheaper. But why? It's just greed, really, because America, and I know your people are listening to this podcast from all over the world. So whatever country you're in, you know, it's important to support the economy of your country. So anyhow, so there really is, I talked in a previous podcast about lawsuits against China that have begun. It's called Suing China. Those are going forward, you know. I was just reading a story the other day about a man, a 58-year-old man in New York, who had had a car accident and had his pelvis injured. And so he ended up in a rehab hospital or a rehab facility. And of course, you know, just like assisted living facilities, any kind of old age facility, as well as rehab facilities, are prime beds of coronavirus, because governments, depending upon what state you're in, but in too many states, the orders have been to send elderly people back to their you know, assisted living place or nursing home or wherever they came from with coronavirus, even though those places are not at all equipped to take care of people like that. And really, you know, it was a death trap. And you have to wonder whether these kinds of things were done on purpose. Well, so getting back to the color codes, it's kind of ironic, one, because of, you know, this question of whether, in fact, coronavirus was a bioterrorist, an agent of bioterrorism, because that's the kind of lab that it came from, where at least most people are agreeing that it wasn't from some animal in the market in Wuhan, but rather that it came either on purpose or by accident, by carelessness, from the Wuhan lab. So anyway, as I was saying about this man, so he ended up in a rehab place, and he ended up dying because of the way that people with COVID were sent back to places like that. I mean, these are tragedies. All the people who are dying or getting sick, I mean, particularly dying, are tragedies, tragic stories. So with this whole issue of bioterrorism, of terrorists waking up to the effectiveness of bioterrorism, bringing countries to their knees, then, you know, the experts are warning that this is now going to be a preferred kind of way for a lot of terrorists. For terrorists that aren't as sophisticated, they could just find coronavirus, which now is all over the world. Or for terrorist organizations that are more sophisticated, they are able to make either mutations or other kinds of bioweapons, because, you know, the effectiveness is just so much more, it's overwhelming as compared to some of the other kinds of lone wolf attacks. Well, I will talk more about this and get into the color-coded systems when we come back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about double trouble, using the terrorism alert levels for COVID. Well, now let me remind you about the 9/11 Homeland Security Advisory System. It was, you know, of course, created in response to the attacks of 9/11. And it was created on March 11th of 2002. That was when it was announced. And it was actually, you know, it really helped to calm people more than make them nervous, because it seemed to have things in a very organized kind of way, in a very intuitive kind of way, you know, with red being the worst, severe, the most severe kind of threat, and then going, you know, going from the hottest colors, red, orange, yellow, blue, green, to the coldest colors, green. So it was created by the Homeland Security Presidential Directive in March 2002. And it was meant to be able to communicate with everybody in America regarding the risk of terrorist attacks, and to the American people, and also to federal, state, and local authorities. And it was really neat. I mean, neat in two ways, you know, cool, neat, and neat in its simplicity, really. So each of the different levels triggered specific kinds of actions by the federal agencies and state and local governments, and security at some airports and other public facilities. it was called, the media called it the terror alert level. And it was ultimately replaced in April of 2011, but that was more political than a good idea. I'll get to that. So let me tell you about these levels. It was the top level, red, severe, is meant to be, you know, the severest risk, of course, of a terror attack. The orange was high, a high risk of terror attack, elevated, yellow, significant risk of a terrorist attack. Blue was guarded, a general risk of terrorist attacks. I mean, they were hoping really to keep it ultimately it guarded, but that didn't happen. And then low risk of terrorist attacks. I don't think that we have ever, I don't think we have ever been low, or if we were, that was a mistake. So now in 2011, it was replaced by the National Terrorism Advisory System. Similar, same idea, terrorism threat advisory scale used by the U.S. government, U.S. Department of Homeland Security in 2011. After, you know, George Bush's original threat level that I just talked about was criticized. But, you know, it's so ridiculous. It was criticized for political reasons, not because, you know, not because it was a bad idea. They did say that, you know, we want a more specific system. Okay, great. Because the other one they complained is being vague and ineffective. And they have rarely changed since they were put into effect from yellow elevated to an orange high. But some people said it was this color-coded system was better at causing Americans to be scared rather than telling us the reason and how to proceed and for how long to be on alert. So the reason why I'm so cynical about, you know, well, first of all, I like things, as I was saying at the beginning, I like things to be simple, because when you're in a panic, if there's a terror attack, you are not going to want to study all the details of these things. But it was announced, this new system that doesn't really seem to, it was announced on January 27th, 2011 by Homeland Security, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Napolitano. And it was, you know, it was in time to complement Barack Obama's 2011 State of the Union address. That is why I am cynical about it, which occurred 2 days earlier. So, you know, basically it was to show that President Obama was better than President Bush. He had made some improvements. Now, in 2015, another color or another level was added, an intermediate threat level. So, that was added because it was considered to be a new phase. And this came about after the November 2015 Paris attacks and the 2015 San Bernardino attack. And this is because of the continue, like they finally realized that, you know, the terrorism was not going away after 9/11. And we needed to have a kind of intermediate phase, which would basically keep people aware that that there's an ongoing threat, basically. And now, you know, this higher threat level, medium, intermediate, is considered, you know, when they first developed the color-coded system, they were hoping, presumably, that it would eventually be down to the yellow and green you know, low and guarded. And in 2015, when they added intermediate, they realized that we can't, you know, be caught off guard. So now alerts are under the categories of elevated, intermediate, or imminent. So no low or no terrorist threat. So, and, you know, depending upon the level, so this puts into effect various actions by the government and, you know, as I was saying, at the airport and so on. Now, the UK COVID, now we're going to COVID, and you're going to see how it's very similar. The UK, first of all, it's similar in colors. We start off with red, then we go orange, then we go yellow. And then, well, it's kind of, this has a slightly different color than, it's a greenish and a bluish. I think they changed it actually to where blue is the bottom. But anyhow, cold colors, it's okay. It's that you get the point. So for now, this is for COVID. So they modeled it after the 9/11 original, the 9/11 color-coded terrorist alert system. And, you know, I think this is a good idea. And for the UK, they have the fifth or highest, the red level, is critical. And it says this level would require a strict lockdown and means the virus is spreading fast and has overwhelmed the National Health Service. Nightingale Hospital is in operation. Full severe lockdown in action imposed by law. So those are the extra hospitals. So the, you know, pinch hitter hospitals that are also being added. So that's the strictest. Then severe, this is the level the UK is currently at and means the National Health Service is stretched but coping. Nationwide lockdown imposed by law. Then three, the yellow, substantial. This means the virus is in general circulation and the National Health Service is operating at extra capacity. Partial lockdown in place. Then we have green, which is moderate. This means there is a low level of virus transmission and the National Health Service is operating normally. Some precautionary measures will be taken to stop further spread. And then the last one, safe. No coronavirus detected in the UK, no restrictions necessary. Well, I think it's going to be a long time in coming till we get to that bottom level. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk about the color-coded system that is occurring in Dallas, Texas, and it's a lot more detailed than what I just read to you for the UK, although I'm sure the UK has more details, you know, for each level that the government and the various people who have to take actions are aware of. But in terms of the public, it's keeping it nice and simple and clear. So, as I said, when we come back, we'll go to Dallas. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about double trouble using the terrorism alert levels for COVID. It's 9/11 all over again. This is undoubtedly, at least unconsciously, reminding people of the color-coded system that we had right after 9/11. And that is undoubtedly fueling some of the criticisms of it. But I'm talking now about the system in Dallas. The UK table was had five levels. Whereas the system, the alert system, had five levels, whereas in Dallas it has four levels, but super, super detailed. Now, the point, of course, for the chart in Dallas is to help the people understand how and when they can safely return to normal life, if that is ever going to happen. Amid the coronavirus pandemic. So there are four color-coded risk levels. And again, we start with the hot color, red, and then orange, then yellow, and then green. And the current status of Dallas is apparently red. Now, of course, by the time you're hearing this, it might have gone down some. And so red means that they are supposed to continue social distancing and only venture out of their homes for essential goods and services, and about 100 more restrictions, which I'll tell you about some of them. Now, the chart has, of course, just like not with 9/11, the chart has drawn some backlash because some people are saying that the restrictions were overly intense. I think a lot of people don't realize that they are, you know, that it is precipitating or triggering the PTSD from 9/11. But some did say that they at least noted that it was like the 9/11 system. They weren't necessarily aware that that's why they didn't like it, you know, that that it was reminding them of 9/11. We are still suffering from PTSD from 9/11, by the way, some of us more than others, depending on part of where you lived and how and whether it impacted you personally. But we are all, we have still been affected by things that are going to be exacerbated, color-coded system or not, by COVID. Big things like obesity brought on by 9/11 because we were comforting ourselves with comfort food, drinking too much, some people taking drugs, depression, anxiety, suicide, all of these wonderful things that have, if you look at tables, statistical tables, you will see that the things that I've mentioned and other things like for teenagers cutting and a whole bunch of self-destructive kinds of behaviors have increased since 9/11. It is not a coincidence. And now adding coronavirus to this, you know, we have all, we still have an obesity epidemic, for example. We haven't cured that, and now we're adding coronavirus to it. I think people are going to be taking two seats in planes. The social distancing is going to be even harder. So anyhow, getting back to Dallas. So my point is that, yes, it's triggering our PTSD. So the red level, the highest level, indicates it's the highest risk, just like, you know, with terrorism, the highest risk for community transmission of the virus. Orange is, and I should say that not only is it the highest risk for community transmission, but they call it stay home, stay safe. Then orange, which is moderate risk of transmission in the community, they call that extreme caution. Then yellow, for low risk of transmission within the community, that is called proceed carefully, or that's the directions. And then green, for the new normal risk, and they that advice is new normal until vaccine. You know, I don't know. I really worry about this whole thinking that waiting for a vaccine, the virus isn't waiting. I think we need to have, I mean, yes, hopefully and presumably there will be a vaccine at some point. But I think maybe people are waiting to get on with their life, waiting to have a vaccine to get on with their life. So then each of these levels includes rules for basic activities like going to restaurants, traveling, attending events such as concerts and religious services. And it drew some backlash, as I was saying, because some people said the restrictions were overly intense. And let's see. I mean, it would take forever for me to read you all the details of these levels, so I'm going to pick out the highlights. Now, before they, now this is interesting. Before the, before Dallas, I mean, that's the Dallas threat level that I'm talking to you about. So for them, and this is actually mirrored in the CDC requirements, but the CDC is even those levels of getting to phase one and two and three and what you have to do, what each city or county has to do to get into the program of going down, you know, in the levels, in other words, going to a less restrictive level is really unreasonably high. So for Dallas, they also have restrictions, but it seems to be a little looser. What they say is each level of guidance after red becomes less restrictive and corresponds to improvement in the COVID epidemic, indicated by having fewer hospital ICU admissions and deaths. So fewer hospital admissions, fewer ICU admissions, and fewer deaths. After 14 days of improvement in these indicators, the risk will be downgraded from red to orange. Then, if the metrics are met for another 14 days, the level can be safely downgraded from orange to yellow, and so on. But then they have this caveat for each level. People should still practice basic prevention measures, such as wearing face masks in public, and they should evaluate their own risk and the risk of others in their household before deciding to ease the restrictions. Now, the Dallas County Judge, Clay Jenkins, made the point that this system is for guidance purposes. He says, it's your decision. This is a guidance. These are recommendations from doctors. These aren't orders. So good for him and good for Dallas. You know, even though this is a little, these things are a little complicated, as I'll read to you. You know, unlike California, where things are pretty draconian, he is being, and Dallas is being more reasonable. Okay, so they have people criticizing it, however, on Twitter. For example, a woman said that the chart bears striking similarity to the terror alert system, you know, from 9/11. And she wrote, Jenkins, she complained about this, I don't know why she complained about him, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins. He was saying they're not laws, they're just guidance. But in any case, she said, Jenkins is playing a very dangerous game. He and those experting under his thumb have deliberately decided to use a color-coded system that mimics the U.S. government's for terrorism. Sick. This is such, oh, well, this is like a classic example of how we are still in denial of terrorism, you know, that it's an ongoing threat. And I know it's hard to get your head around the idea that, you know, when I talk about how the terrorists are not giving up or they haven't gone away, because it's hard to imagine having a color-coded system for terrorism at the same time as you're having a color-coded system for coronavirus. Can you imagine that? The two color-coded systems combining? I mean, I guess you couldn't combine them, but you'd have to look at each one separately. That's another way to drive us crazy. Okay, so she said, the most frightening thing about the color-coded chart is that it perpetuates the falsehood that safer at home keeps people safe. She said, see, COVID-19 is not going away and a vaccine is not a cure. Safer at home was intended to spread the infections out in a manner that wouldn't overload our health system. Safer at home was never intended to stop infections. That was never intended because it's not possible. The chart is a lie designed to paralyze the people of Dallas County with fear. She should live in California. She should be grateful, folks. Anybody listening to this who lives in Dallas, you should be grateful because it is a lot worse in California. Now, What else? Another. Now, funny. So these were all tweets that I was just reading to you. Let's see. Now, another person, Richard Koch, he tweeted that, "I would say that people seem to feel that the freedom to make choices for themselves is the utmost priority. No math required. The colored chart is more misinformation and another attempt at controlling the population of Dallas County." Now, but then somebody else responded, "No, it's not an order. It's only a recommendation." You know, people are, of course, on Twitter, social media, of course, arguing with each other. Let me just give you, you know, just some examples. For the red, the high community risk, going to a restaurant, avoid dine-in eating and limit to drive-through, curbside takeout, or delivery. Make sure the staff is wearing masks and so on. Then as compared to the normal is actually a little scary too. It's not like going back to how things were. The normal for Dallas is dine-in restaurants operating under proper safety precautions for staff and customers. Then going shopping under red, limit trips to once a week or as necessary, avoid all but essential shopping, and so on. Same thing for red. Now, what are the things? Oh, travel and tourism, eliminate non-essential travel if you're in red. I mean, it's a whole, I'm just reading the highlights. There's a ton of details for each thing. Avoid group settings in regard to events and entertainment. Visiting outdoor entertainment like zoos and concerts, not recommended. I'm talking about the red. Movie theaters, not recommended. Now, the thing that really bothers me is attending religious services and funerals. For red, it's saying avoid in-person attendance. You can have live streaming or other social media-based platforms for the continuance of faith practices. I when it comes to religion, I think it's really stepping on our rights a lot more than, you know, whether we can go to the zoo. And then there's things about using personal services like barbershops, nail salons, not recommended under red. We're all going to come out looking like cavemen. That's going to be the result here. So let me tell you, I'll end with this tweet that someone wrote in Dallas. He's a reporter for the Dallas Morning News, Jesus Jimenez, and his way of critiquing the color chart in Dallas was, he wrote, "Like Dallas County, I too have a color-coded guide for getting through this pandemic." And he posted a picture of his refrigerator or his freezer. And he has frozen food. So there's green, a package that's in green, chicken enchiladas poblano, then in purple, chicken biryani, and in blue, chicken tikka masala. I think he has the right idea. We all need to keep our sense of humor and make our own decisions. We can use these things for guidance, but make our own decisions. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.